I want to thank everybody once again tonight for your great hospitality and kindness and generosity and love staying with Eddie and Becky. Love staying there. I feel so comfortable. And you have a pastor and a pastor's wife that are very given, much given hospitality to. Brother Andrew is just a real man that loves the Lord. There's nothing feigned about him. And I just appreciate that about him. I'm a little bit farther down the road now, and things that I look for and mean something to me have really changed than how I looked at ministry and how I looked at what I wanted to do and how I wanted to be used and at other people from years ago. And I'm looking at, how do they care about their folks? How does a pastor care about his folks? Not what kind of numbers being posted on the board, and not so he can, you know, all the big boys down the road can think he's doing something because he's packing it out. You know, that goes on a lot. But does he care about the people? Does he love the Lord Jesus Christ? And this too, does he love his wife and family? Who cares how successful a pastor is if he's mean to his wife and doesn't spend any time with his children? That's what I call a hypocrite, all right? And we got a lot of them. And so I just appreciate that, really do. Now, last night was sort of the pinnacle of the revival. We were leading up to it, and I really think the Lord blessed last night, and I'm praying that he's going to bless tonight. I mean, we're going to preach the Word of God, and he said it's not going to return void, but, you know, we're not going to try to top that tonight. That was a much of an individual type message last night. I was preaching to your specific heart. And this is going to involve you individually in your heart tonight, but I'm preaching to you as a church, as a whole entire church tonight. And I'm gonna come across and give you a thought that will help this church stand the bombardments of the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you want this church to have some longevity, if you want this church to keep on going and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be here a bright and shining light and going on when he returns, you better pay attention to this message tonight. It's going to be real practical, something maybe you haven't thought about, but it's very important in the life of a local church. Go ahead and take your Bible, and let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's stand together tonight, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it may seem like an odd passage that we're going to read, but it all makes sense here in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to call your attention to a couple of verses. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to call your attention to verses 6 and 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 6, the Bible says, "But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." With God's help tonight, I want to preach just for a few minutes on this subject. Take one for the team. If you want this church to make it and to go on, everybody in here ought to look at this local church as a team. And you ought to look at it as a player on the team, not any worse and not any better. But you better get it in your mind that for this thing to go, sometimes you're going to be called upon by the Lord to take one for the team. All right? Every head bowed and eye closed. Brother Andrew, would you pray for me? And everybody can be seated.
Lord, we do thank you, God, for allowing us to be here this evening, Lord. Thank you, God, for your many blessings this week, Lord. The good preaching, yes. Your fellowship, God. Blessing us beyond what we deserve. Lord, we pray that you meet with us again one more time.
Please, Lord.
So use Brother Dennis in a mighty way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Word. God, it's a tough passage for us.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord. Please. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, if I tell you that you ought to take one for the team, of course, that's an expression that we use to signify someone who is willingly undertakes an unpleasant task or makes a personal sacrifice for the benefit of others. And we as God's people ought to be ready to take one for the team. You know what we need sometimes? We need a base hit. We need to get somebody on base, and maybe we're not hitting so well. So what we need somebody to do is to come out of the dugout and crowd the plate and stick their bum out there just a little bit and lean over the plate just a little bit. And if the pitcher throws one right there and the seam goes right into your side like I've been hit with a baseball, that feels wonderful. Right into your side, or right in your back, or right in your thigh. You take it for the team so you can get somebody on base. Some of you are saying amen, and some of you are saying, oh, me. But that's some baseball lingo there. You take one for the team. And we as God's people ought to be ready to take one for the team. And the team I'm talking about, obviously, is the body of Christ. But I want to make it more specific here tonight. Your local church. And I absolutely don't want to ever speak irreverently of our Lord. But I'm going to typify him as the coach. He's the coach. And Jesus Christ, or I guess I could even say your pastor is the coach, but Jesus Christ is the manager. He's the head of the team. And sometimes in order for us to bring honor and glory to our Lord and to benefit others, we have got to be willing, listen to me now, we have got to be willing to be wronged. We've got to. We should be more concerned about not putting out others instead of others putting us out. And very seldom do you see that. And this is certainly a problem in our world, but now it's a problem in the church. And it's why we have so many selfish Christians that exist today. Now, I want you to notice this passage and get the context of it. Now, the context of this passage is that Paul is rebuking the Corinthians because they're taking one another to court. And he informs them that as a Christian, they ought to be able to straighten things out without going before lost people to decide the case. And Paul asked them a question. This is the question. He said, why do you not rather take wrong? Why don't you just take one for the team? That's what he's asking them. And when you read Paul's writings, you see that he uses that term defraud or defrauded more than anyone else in the Bible. And what you find out is this. We are not to defraud others, but we are to be willing to be defrauded ourselves. Now, I know that goes against the grain of your flesh, that goes against the grain of this world, and there's somebody that really wants you to go against that, and that's the devil. But you and I, we actually defraud our brother when we don't allow them to defraud us. Now, don't you get the wrong idea with this. I'm not saying that you ought to be a doormat and let everybody run over you and run over your youngins and run over your wife. I'm not suggesting that tonight. But there comes a time when you have to learn to take it and suck it up, buttercup, and take it and suck it up and keep your mouth shut for the benefit of the team. We are to be willing to be defrauded, but we don't defraud anybody. 1 Corinthians 7:5, Paul says, defraud not one another. 2 Corinthians 7:2, receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man. He says, we have defrauded no man. 1 Thessalonians 4:6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. So the teaching is, listen, you're talking about a philosophy that goes against the world. Paul is saying, don't you dare put nobody else out. But at the same time, while you're not to put anybody else out, you be willing to be put out. That goes against the philosophy of this world, straight in the face of the world. And most Christians would say, I'll never do that. Yeah. You'll never be used of God like He wants you to. You'll never be a good wife, because sometimes you got to take one for the team. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? Yeah. You'll never be a good husband. You'll never be a good worker. You'll never be a good boss. You'll never be a good neighbor. And these boys that play sports and girls in here that play sports, you'll never be a good teammate. Because you can't be a good teammate worrying about your batting average and how much you get to play and what you get to do. It's not about you as a player. It's about the team. It's not about you, individual Christian. It's about the church. You know, we live in a society today where, you think about a few things. We have all this road rage, and sometimes I reckon it can bother me. It kills me to see stinking, selfish people swerving all over the road while they're talking on their cell phone. But I just sometimes just need to calm down and say, okay, they're in my way. I just pray they don't kill themselves or nobody. So while they're swerving all over the place, I just blow by them as a good Christian should and let them take a look at my scripture signs on the car. Is that what you do? That's not taking one for the team. You go to Walmart. Why are you so mad at Walmart about lousy service? You just take it. Just take the lousy service. Don't go into a restaurant and get all ghetto because your service is bad. I can't stand it when I go to a restaurant with a bunch of Christians or a church group of all things, and they know you're a church group, and everybody's getting all loud and upset about the sorry service. Can't you take it one for the team so that you won't be a bad witness for these folks that are serving you that's probably on their way to hell? If you are a bad person at a restaurant and you get easily offended and you're worried about they're not filling my glass of tea quick enough and they're not bringing this, bringing that, and you fuss and get loud about it, don't you invite me out. I don't want to go with you. And for God's sake, don't leave a $2 tip. Bunch of cheapos. Somebody plays music all night and you go to the law and tell on your neighbor rather than go confront them. I know can play music all night long can get rough, but can't you take it once or twice? Somebody must have some bad neighbors, huh? Amen. Why didn't they put my name in the bulletin for fixing meals for revival? I cooked and brought just as much food as anybody. You say, I ain't being silly. I've been doing this for 31 years. Don't you call me silly. I know how they get. I know what they say. I know the jealousy and the envy and the mouth running. Why can't you just take one for the team and say, okay, they should have put me in the bulletin. They should have recognized my cooking. All right, you're probably 100% right. Why can't you keep your mouth shut about it so you can have unity in the church and realize Jesus Christ knows everything you did for this church? And it doesn't matter if anybody ever brags on you or not. Now, if you're only doing it to be bragged upon, then you're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. I'm not going to let this old man on a scooter ahead of me here at this store because he hasn't got anything to do anyway. I'm busy. Can't you take one for the team? He popped off at me, so I'm going to pop off back at him. Turn the other cheek, my foot. That's what people think. Donald Trump said this, you attack me, I'm going to attack you. Unfortunately, this is the attitude of the world, and unfortunately, it's the attitude of many Christians. Now, don't clam up on me. I got enough sense to know he's a lot better than Joe Biden. I know that, but that's like somebody coming to me and saying, hey, man, you want me to cut your hand off or you want me to cut your finger off? Well, I'd rather you not cut either one of them off, but I guess cutting my finger off would be a little bit better than my hand. But people get so politically crazy around here, and they don't pay attention to what people say. What he said is that if you attack me, I'm going to attack you, and he lived up to that statement. And that's not right. That's not Christian, and that's not what God told you and me to do. I don't render evil for good, the Bible says. I render good for evil. The Bible says I don't do to people how they do me. I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. You know what that is, church? That's just taking one for the team. That's simply what that is. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul's attitude wasn't like the most Christians are nowadays. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 15, do you know what Paul said? He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Notice what he said, though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. You know, I have felt that as a pastor before, where you dedicate yourself and you love folks and you reach out and you care about them. And some of the same folks that stand up in church and say, boy, God, Brother Dennis is such a good pastor and he's been so good to me and he's helped my family and taught us the Bible and he was there when my marriage was about to bust up and he helped get my youngins back in church or whatever. That's the same folks that'll turn over on you just like that and cut your throat, man, spiritually. So you know what that means? This is what it means. It means that if I'm going to be a good preacher, I got to keep increasing my love for my folk and everybody while they decrease theirs for me. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens tonight. I knew that. Because this is hard for all of us, ain't it? But do you want to keep unity in the church? You want to keep God's hand on the church? You want to see God do something in you in all the facets of your life, whatever it is, where you, like I said, husband, wife, co-worker, worker, employer, employee, neighbor, baseball player, soccer ball player, softball player, whatever you do, then you got to learn to take one for the team. I want to say three things very quickly about taking one for the team. Number one, it's mandatory for ministry. You cannot minister to others if you're not willing to put yourself out there to be wronged. You listen, everybody in here must be willing to be mistreated. You must be willing to be betrayed. You must be willing to have your feelings hurt. You must be willing to be stabbed in the back, or you cannot minister to others. You have to repeatedly step out there on the limb and hand the fellow the saw and say, okay, I'm stepping out again. I'm making myself vulnerable to be hurt again. Here's the saw. If you want to saw it out from under me, help yourself. But I'm not going to let you turn me into a bitter, paranoid, hardened person just because you've done me wrong. And I see a lot of pastors get that way, a lot of preachers get that way, and a lot of church members get that way. And you can't help nobody when you're like that. I can't tell you the number of pastors over the years I've seen become withdrawn, they get paranoid, they get isolated, and then they become dictators because they're afraid of being hurt or being mistreated. Got to have everybody under control. And many Christians will do the same thing. Christians, listen, Christians will hurt you worse than lost people because you expect it from lost people. You don't expect the Christians to do it to you. But you have to, listen, you have to understand something. Sometimes you're going to feel like, why is it worth it? You know what's going to happen? You're going to pour your heart into a bunch of youth many times that's going to grow up. And these youth are not going to serve the Lord, some of them. You're going to pour your heart into drug addicts and try to reach them. And most of them are never going to change. And the ones that do are going to be in and out and in and out and in and out. And they'll wind up stealing from you after all you've done for them. You're going to be disappointed, you're going to be let down, and you're going to be taken advantage of. And you say, what am I supposed to do? Keep taking one for the team. Don't you let the devil tell you right now that that preacher's telling me to be weak. No, it takes great strength to do what I'm telling you to do. I'm not telling you to be weak. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm preaching to you the word of God tonight. And that's what Paul asked him when they're taking each other to court. He said, why don't you choose to take the wrong rather than ruin your testimony in front of all these lost people and people in the local church that won't even talk to each other no more over this mess? You cannot minister if you cannot take one for the team. And listen, that's not only the team that you're on, but you got to take one for the team sometime for the team you're, that's the people that's not on your team, the lost world. You need to take one for the local church. Again, this flies in the face of everything we're taught and everything we look at and how we feel. But I'm telling you something tonight that is so important that if you don't buy into this and believe it, it is the crack almost every time that the devil gets in and just busts something up. Number two is worthy to witness. Not only is taking one for the team mandatory for ministry, it's worthy to witness. If you're going to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to have a good testimony. And if you don't, folks won't listen to you. If you don't believe that, just ask the old Lot about that. He lost two daughters that got burned up in that city because his son-in-laws laughed at him in his face because his testimony was so terrible when he told them, God's going to burn this thing up. You got to get out of here. They didn't even believe him because he wasn't believable. And when a lost world sees people turning the other cheek and being kind to those who are unkind to us and being patient to those who put us out and deny ourselves in order to provide for others, then they will listen to you tell them about the Lord. Show you one quick passage tonight. You've got to see it. Turn to the book of John. I preached this thing wrong for many years because I just wasn't paying attention to what it was saying. But I got a hold of it and corrected it. And maybe some of you already had it. Maybe I was just, sometimes you just read something over and over and over and it's wrong. And I don't care if you're a preacher or if you think you know the Bible. We just tend to do that sometimes. But look at this. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And when the Lord's talking to his disciples, notice what he said there. John chapter 13, verse number 34. He talks about a new commandment. And he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Notice this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another, have love one to another. And I used to read that thing about, okay, you go out there and you love people, and that's how people know you're a disciple of Christ, and that's how you make a good witness. But that's not what the passage says. I preached it wrong. Pay attention to it. I give a new commandment unto you that what? You love. This is not talking about loving the world or talking to outsiders. He said, you love one another. And he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you love one another. Listen, if the world out there hears about schisms and the way we treat each other in the local church, if they don't see us love one another, they are not going to believe we will love them. You understand that? They'll never believe you love them if they don't see us loving one another. And part of really showing to each other that you love each other is taking it on the chin for each other. Keeping your mouth shut and just sucking it up and taking it. You understand where I'm going with this tonight? They will want to be like you because they know that they are nothing like you because the world's not like this. I'm not into fortune cookies, all right? I don't even eat them at the Chinese restaurant, but I don't. Amen. It's a useless piece of, tastes like cardboard anyway, but one time they pulled this thing out of a fortune cookie. I mean, it's not the Bible, that's for sure, but it's right. You know what this thing in the fortune cookie said? It said, and I don't even know who put that in there, it said, we want to have a testimony, but we don't want the test. Now, that's certainly not Bible, but it's biblical. You can't have a testimony with folks until you put to the test. What's the test, all right? The world don't want to hear you talk about how much you love them if they don't believe you even love each other. Finally tonight, taking one for the team is Christ-like in character. And we will turn to one more passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. This is our final passage tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, and I know, listen, folks, I knew before I preached this tonight, this is not some kind of exciting message, and it's not going to tear at the strings of your heart, and we're probably not going to have an invitation here in a moment, and everybody flooded the altar, and they're crying and said, oh, God, help me. But I'm telling you something real important tonight. I can't even express to you how important this is. And keeping a local church going for the Lord and keeping you right with the Lord. Taking one for the team is Christ-like in character. Look there in 1 Peter chapter 2. And you read verses 21 through 24, and then you can also, were to back up, you can read verses 19 and 20. But Jesus Christ left us the greatest example ever given of someone being defrauded and taking the wrong. He left us an example to follow in verse number 21. And notice what happens there in verse number 20. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But when you do, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. And notice the example. For even hereunto were you called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What was his steps when he was wrong? Listen, has anybody on this earth ever been wrong like Jesus Christ? Of course not. But how did he respond to it? Verse 22, who did no sin. You know, you get me, I'm going to get you. You knock my tooth out, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. No, that's not what he said. It said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't do anything to anybody. He didn't run his mouth about anybody. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't return it. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He said, this is all up to God. God's allowed this. God's put me here. It was the perfect will of God for me to go to this cross. I'm giving it all to him. I'm not going to retaliate. He can take care of it. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. And you know what he did? It was the Father's will for him to drink that cup for me and you. And to take the wrong. Jesus Christ took the wrong so I could go to heaven. Can't you take the wrong so maybe somebody else out there can go to heaven? Can't you take the wrong so some young Christian in here doesn't get offended and caught up in some kind of nonsense and busted up and get out of church and never return? It happens all the time. Happens all the time. God pays attention to those who do the same. Because he said back there in verse number 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering, and wrongfully. Jesus Christ was the most unselfish man that ever walked the earth. How many of you want to be like Christ tonight? You know, where they used to wear a little bracelet, WWJD. What would WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, let me tell you what Jesus would do. When reviled, he reviled not. You know what he did? He took one for the team. He took it as they beat his face and plucked out his beard and beat his body and stabbed him with the spear, nailed his hands to the cross. He took it. He took it. We will all from time to time be called on, church, to take one for the team. But the question is, are you willing to take one for the team? Are you willing to spin and be spent, as Paul said? And I'm just going to tell you folks tonight, I know how hard this is sometimes. Believe me, I really do. But you and I cannot be a good witness if we're not willing to be defrauded. We cannot minister to others if we're not willing to be defrauded. We cannot be like Christ if we're not willing to be treated unjustly so others can benefit. So I guess the question is to hear, and I just want to say this before I go. Again, I'm probably saying this more so because of what I just went through with my church. This is probably on my heart more so. Listen, I'm a man, and I understand the man's emotions and how they're tied in with preaching and getting God's word. And I understand that I'm probably sensitive to this issue. And I have seen, in the two times I've been here, I have seen or heard anything that leads me to believe anything is wrong in this church, okay? So don't you ever get that out of what I'm saying here tonight. I don't see it. I can't see it. This looks like a great church to me, and it looks like you're all with each other. But I know what the devil can do just like that. And you know what I have found? Churches split because there's somebody or somebodies in there that just can't take the wrong. They don't split over doctrine. They split because there's somebody in the church that can't see the bigger picture. And they can't see the wrong, they can't take the wrong. And they can't get over what their personal preference is. Not a scriptural guide, but a personal preference. So I guess, again, the question is tonight, are you willing to put yourself out there to be thrown under the bus? To be stabbed in the back? To be taken advantage of? If not, you can forget the ministry of any kind. And I end with this question tonight that Paul asked all of us, and it's all of us, church. Why do you not rather take Rome? Well, why not? I'm asking you, I'm begging with you, I'm pleading with you to consider this tonight, that God wants us. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. God wants all of us to be willing to take one for the team. Amen, church. All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes, and I'm going to turn it over to you.